Source on Shock Radio.
One more band to feature, though, on this week's Source podcast, and they're a band called Blue October. They're a really quite exciting outfit. They've been around for quite some time. They've been a huge success in America since their inception, really. I think this is their 8th album now, but they've developed a very, very strong repertoire of albums, the latest being very heartfelt, very deep, and the main subject matter being something that probably everybody could relate to. We interviewed them, and then they came into our studios to record a session for The Source. First of all, we'll do the interview, Blue October, on The Source.
The Source!
What's it like playing the songs without the band, without the full backing? Is it nice stripping the back and playing acoustic?
Yeah, because this is how we started the band.
Right.
Good to get back to the roots.
Get back to the roots, you know. We started a band in 94 with Ryan and I, just playing acoustic and writing these really romantic, sad love songs. And about suicide and yeah, and next thing you know, we're here doing them again, and it's really nice to see the people, the people's reactions. We've never done this in America, actually. Mm-mm. We should do this in America, right?
Yeah. And we've never done it. Well, we did two shows.
That might be a very profitable tour, Ryan. Let's think about that.
Let's do it.
Should we talk about the beautiful subject of Any Man in America?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's switch real quick. Hold on.
Let's switch. Okay. 7th album.
Yes.
7?
7.
Wow.
You've been around quite a while, and this is...
We're only 25 years old.
Yes. Amazing, amazing.
I'm 19.
No, you're not. You're 25. You can drink legally.
Would you say this is the first album that's really got recognised on a big scale in the UK?
Yes. Yeah. It is the first album that the UK has done a lot more for us than the United States, and taken it seriously, and I really appreciate it. And everybody seems to have passion for their children, and everyone seems to have passion for their loved ones. And this album is about loved ones, and this album is about, you know, losing the right to be with your child all the time. So it's definitely a passionate subject, and definitely one I take seriously. And no drunk jokes on this one. It's just a very passionate album, and I'm very serious about it.
So let's be serious.
So the writing process for it, then?
It was... Oof.
That must have been quite an ordeal.
It was just, I was angry. I was sitting there for 2.5 years just going, man, where'd all my friends go? Where'd all my, we were making Approaching Normal, actually. And I was writing it because I was like, going, I can't explain this to my friends. How's this happening? She's not coming down to America. She's not coming with my daughter, okay? So I just kept writing and writing every single thing that happened. And it just ended up being the album. I just started being really honest, really brutally honest. And it just came out that way.
So let's talk about The Feel again, because that's really taken off over here, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And it's one of the first songs on the album that caught my attention back, you know, in the middle of last year.
Thank you.
I was like, wow, this is a new direction.
Yeah.
This is an emotional step for you, because the previous albums, you know, I mean, Hate Me's got its emotion, but Foiled's got, you know, it's a different album in its entity. So how did you decide to move on to a completely different thing?
He writes constantly, and so during the process of writing this record, he was nonstop all the time, going, and I'd go over there, and I'd sit down, and I'd listen to the songs, and I'm like, wow, this is a fantastic new direction. You know, there's a hip-hop influence, there's the talking about his daughter, and trying to get, you know, somebody to listen to him, you know, and this is the only way he can get it out. So I don't know if I'm answering the question,
but
it's very powerful.
But take me off your worry list, just throw it away. Yeah, this is what my life is about. I might have been gone, but I never walked out.
For you, these songs, you know, because you've been brutally honest with them, it's like when you practice them with everybody.
Yeah.
That they are, it's like a massive deep conversation, isn't it? And if someone's not relating and engaging with that, then it is almost like a big, you know,
slap in the face.
Exactly.
It's like, especially when you've had a month to listen to that conversation and get involved in it.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad or anything, but it's just not their cup of tea. But I would love for someone to say, this isn't my cup of tea.
Right.
Can I step out? I'd be like, sure.
Yeah.
Instead of like, yeah, this is my cup of tea, I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah, and no emotion, because that shows through, doesn't it, in the end?
It shows through in the end, because you take out all their parts.
Mm.
And you're like, man, those are not thought out parts. I remember Ryan, I felt so bad one day, but this is honest. Felt so bad because Ryan, I walked in and Ryan was writing this beautiful, God, and we still have it, by the way, this orchestra, 30-piece orchestration to drama everything. Wow. And Drama Everything is supposed to be the one song that lifts you up. And this piece was just all so heartfelt and gorgeous. And I hated being the one to walk in and go, Ryan, this doesn't work. Why is this? Do you not hear that this is beautiful and this is love? This song is telling this girl to, you're finally over. And he was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And he got it instantly. He goes, you're right. Scratch it. Let's start over. But we kept it, and it's so beautiful, and it will work with something so gorgeous, because Ryan knows it'll work with something, but he understood my spot. A lot of people, that's when we had to sit down with my manager and Tim Palmer and the band and go, look, this is planned out and this is organized. And Ryan got it, you know, because although the piece was beautiful, you can't put a row of nails down on a bed of roses, you know what I'm saying?
Is writing then 100% what you spend your time doing?
Yes, 100%.
Biggest part of your life?
Yes, almost to the point of where my beautiful fiance now is almost has left me a few times because that's all I have done is write. Take me on a date, Justin. I'll take you. Just let me finish this beat. But when we were off this time, I mean, I wrote 198 songs, 198 pieces, so that we can just go home and he can put strings to it, I can put words to it, and it's done. So I'm collecting like a bear does when he hibernates for our future in this economy.
The Source